Hey, everybody out there in podcast land. Thank you so much for checking out Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are also based and their attempts to figure it out as they make their way through comedy and life and everything that falls in between those two big, big topics. I'm Matt Alana Martin. I don't know what this energy is I'm bringing today, but I just thought I'd switch it up a little bit for the intro.
I'd love it. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
Did you see my face?
Yeah.
When you said, hey, everybody, I was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
It's doing something different. I know.
Yeah. Turning up.
With me as always, Dwight Simmons. Dwight, how are you today?
I am good, man. I am good. It is a solid day. I have fully recovered. Last week, I got my flu shot and COVID booster.
Okay.
Same day, same arm.
Ooh, and, they didn't even switch up the arms?
They did offer. Oh. They did offer, but I figured I'd want like one functional arm.
Okay, that's gets into the strategy aspect of it. Do you want equal soreness, or do you want at least one arm for, I don't know, what was that motion you were doing?
Well, I was going to say I had a long drive on Saturday and Sunday, but I did this thing.
Yeah.
Your energy's got my energy all over the place, so now... We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. No, you had a long drive and, you know, you have that ship's wheel in your car now, like that giant wooden wheel. That's how you steer, you know.
Yeah, the 2012 Toyota Prius, baby.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You got to customize it a little bit, you know.
Pimp my ride.
So was your one arm just like completely shot since they did both of them in one arm?
For like a couple days. It was super sore, but. I didn't have, I went with Megan and we trauma bonded together on Friday. And super easy. Everyone should do it.
Yeah. I just took my brother to get his last night. And even with a very understaffed pharmacy at the Kroger, it was very chill, very easy. It just took a while because there was, you know, not a lot of people working. But I think it's interesting. You did yours right before a weekend of shows. I'm going to do mine probably Sunday or Monday where I know that I have a couple of days off.
Right. But it didn't. So the flu shots never hit me like hard.
Okay.
Like Megan felt it immediately, like fever and everything. I was like, oh, no.
Before she left the store.
Yeah, she's like, they're like, wait 15 minutes. And we're like, no.
Yeah.
I didn't like, it is bold, but like, you have to like, try to time it out, especially if you're performing every weekend. I just don't like, I could just make that excuse until December when it's too late and I'm around my family.
Right. Yeah.
So I went for it. And good. Hopefully. I already had a cold this fall, and hopefully we're done with that shit, so fingers crossed.
Yeah, if you already had a cold, do they give you a discount on the flu vaccine if you're like, yo, I already got some antibodies in me already, like I don't
push it fully in now. Don't try to kill me. They did. So we went to CVS, we got a $5 coupon off of a purchase of $20, so they're really trying to get people in there. I don't know if they're trying to be brand loyal, but they're giving away free money.
Thank All right. You. There you go. Yeah.
Not quite the Biden bucks, but
yeah. but this election cycle, vote CVS. That's what we're saying. They're really looking out for the common man, the common woman, non-binary. You know, they're looking out for everybody.
I don't know if they're doing all that, but I don't think they've gone public with we stand with everybody. They didn't go full Target. The LGBTQ plus rainbow, let's piss off everybody. Yeah. They're just trying to slang some dope.
Okay. You
know? Just like this podcast, we're sponsored by Pfizer and Moderna, apparently, as we open it up.
Yeah. You know, we want to be transparent. This is all about, you know, yes, comedy is fine and life is fine, but really in between those two, it's all about pharmaceuticals. And that's what our passion is. That's what we're here. So you had some shows. Tell us about those shows. Like you went to, you had the dead arm. Did it affect your stage?
Well, I was a little silly in Michigan, but I saw you on Thursday. You did my show here in Indianapolis.
Yes.
Koogman House. It was decent. You were amazing. The show was fine. As a showrunner, I'm like, it was decent. And in terms of turnout, sound, there were just like some behind the scenes things that were very frustrating.
I mean, I had a lovely time.
Yes.
I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun up there. I thought the show was good. The sound was a little weird because it was one of those situations where instead of having a directional PA, it comes through the house system. So like overhead speakers, which aren't really designed for comedy. Anytime you've been in one of those situations, it's never great. But I thought watching the rest of the show, I could hear everything okay. And I even have hearing loss. So, I mean, you guys got it tweaked in pretty good, I thought. No, I had a good time. I don't know why you thought that was. I mean, it's not up to your standards, I guess.
You had a great time, and my mother-in-law bought a shirt, which I missed. I missed that she did that, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, I charged her $1. I was just going to give it to her. Yeah. And she's just like, no. And she gave me her credit card. And I was like, well, now I get to type in whatever. So I just typed in $1 and processed it and handed it back. And she saw it, that it was only $1. And she was like, no. I was like, oh, it's too late now. Yeah. You know.
Well, speaking now of which, she's spiraling because she feels guilty that she's not supporting the arts. And she wants to send you 24 more dollars.
So. No, it's totally fine. No, just send us 24 more listeners. That's what we want.
That's what we share the podcast. Dollars.
Yeah. No, they were delightful. It was very nice to meet them, both her and your father-in-law. And but it did. That was me using the power for good. I don't think I talked about this, but the weekend before when I had like the two tables of drunk white women that I had to deal with or whatever, did I talk about how the worst offender came up to buy something and just handed me her credit card without asking me how much a shirt was? And I thought, oh, I could just type $200 in here.
Yeah.
I could just process this. So I just used that same logic, but for good with your mother-in-law. I was like, well, you're just putting the power in my hands. Then I'm just going to make this $1. And so
it was very sweet and kind of you, but
no, of course. I just really like the idea that you're going to be on vacation looking at my face because she's going to be wearing my shirt next time you guys are all hanging out together on the boat, you know?
Well, she has your shirt. I know she has one of mine and she has a Tyson Cox shirt. So I can't escape this shit.
What is the Tyson Cox shirt? I haven't seen Tyson's merch, I don't think, for a while.
I can't remember. I think it's his face, but.
Oh, okay. Does she have a David Brooks I Heart Whores merch? Does she have any of David's merch? How supportive is your mother-in-law? Is she willing to support even though, you know, like she may not agree with the message on the merch?
I don't know. Maybe that's a good stocking stuffer just to test where everybody is this year. Well, I thought it was funny because one of our favorite places that we go to as a family is New Orleans, and the artist that designed your shirt and also my logo is Laura Sanders from New Orleans. So I thought that was very interesting that I haven't told her that yet, but she's going to be like, oh, it was meant to be. And then she's going to hand me $24 to give to you the next time. Okay. She's not going to let it go.
Okay. All right. Well, she's going to have to let it go because now it's a whole thing. So I'm going to get their address in Wisconsin. And I'm just going to start sending her free merch in the mail. No. That $1 signs you up to the Madelano Martin of the Month Club. And I will now be doing one of one prints that I send her. You know,
what a misuse of spite, like happy spite.
No, but they were lovely, and I know that they listen to the podcast. So thank you again for coming out and supporting the show and supporting your son-in-law and his idiot friend who does a podcast with him. So appreciate all that. Thursday night, I thought it was a great show. You know, Aaron Dupke was on it along with you had a couple of like heavy hitters out of Chicago, Vic Pendaya, and who was the other guy that is kind of last minute? Tyler something?
Yeah, Tyler Fowler.
Yeah. So that was the whole show, right? Was that the
whole
thing?
Whole show? Yeah. Yeah. And then everyone just did a little bit longer, which I kind of like that better. I think we had about 25, 30 people. So it's a big room. And I didn't know about the wireless mic before the show. Mm-hmm. And I also, the way that it's typically set up, it's nice because there's a bar and there's a bartender usually dedicated to the show. and we didn't have that either. So it disrupts when people have to get up and leave the actual room like multiple times to come back. So that was a little frustrating. And then the sound was driving me nuts. It's just like the little things as a showrunner that stack on top of each other that had me cursing in the back of the room. But, you know, also it's a Thursday night and the crowd's a little tighter than what I think the comics deserved. All the comics are great. In my opinion, and I think everyone had a good time, but you want that, like, especially coming off weeks of doing like really dope ass rooms, really rooms that are like set up for you to succeed as a comic.
It
felt like this one missed the mark, but everyone was a pro on the show. It's just like some self-pity. I want a cool ass room, like Sisyphus in Minneapolis or the Laughing Tap in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a good note on perspective too, because first of all, like, again, as the person running it, every little thing is like annoying you because it's not as perfect as you want it to be. That's, I 100% understand that. Obviously we have that same feeling with like Limestone, where people attending are like, it was great. And they don't know about all the little, you know, like, oh, it could have been this, so much better if this, this, and this was there. But also you were coming off of a couple of back-to-back weekends of doing two of the best festivals in the country and doing really amazing rooms. And so you rolled in there kind of like, ah, this crowd isn't as popping. I was coming off of that weekend where I had to handle, most of my set was handling a drunk, a couple tables of drunk. So I was like, this crowd's great. They're not yelling shit out. Like, they're not interrupting the show, you know, they're laughing, you know? So I think that's the always the perspective aspect.
For sure. 100%. 100%. Yeah. That's a big part of it. And also I just, you know, things that you want to be able to control, like sound, not, you can't treat trivia the same way you treat comedy.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yes.
You know, like that sound setup works for trivia or music or, but yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. It was fine. And then, we got the shots on Friday morning, the day after the show. Was a little hungover as we stumbled into CVS.
Yeah.
Turn down the lights. It's bright in here. Had me in the arm twice. Uh-huh. And then Saturday went to Bay City, Michigan, and Megan was able to come with me to that as well. And I did a brewery called Reed City Brewing, and then I saw the way that show was set up, and I was like, "Oh, I'm doing all right. My show was fine. Maybe I do."
You're like, my show has a microphone. Oh, so that's all right.
I could have done the one in Bay City a cappella. It's tiny, which I love rooms. I love those rooms.
Yeah.
But we passed, like, driving through this little Michigan town, we passed like three thin blue line flags. And I'm like, here we go, baby. Here we go. And it was, the show started at the kickoff of the Michigan and Michigan State game. So, like, going head to head,
just as part of of those festivities, you know.
Yeah, you know me and my luck in Michigan. Why not? But yeah, it was fine. The show was fine. I had fun. Sold some merch.
That's
about an hour, and then we went to a pumpkin patch on Sunday.
Okay,
that's spooky. Fun. Spooky season.
How much time did you do at the pumpkin patch? Did you?
Luckily.
Roasted those pumpkins.
Luckily, we ended up getting three pumpkins and
look at your dimpled ass. Ain't nobody gonna carve you. Looking like Edward James almost in a gourd form. What you doing?
The guy that can't turn it off.
Yeah.
At the pumpkin patch. Oh, your ass.
And then we just
ate up.
And then we just panned the camera out, and then there's Megan just like pulling a flask out, drinking like, my husband everywhere I go with him.
I will say,
so you guys went and got three pumpkins. Okay, that's good.
Thank God we were in the Prius, because we would have gotten more if we did not run out of space. Like, we got a hay bale, and I did not know hay bales they span the size of the freaking car. So luckily we ran out of space. could not get any more pumpkins, but we're festive on the block here. We're ready for spooky season. Yeah. We ready.
Now, does your street do it up? Do you feel pressure to decorate the outside of your house for the holidays because your neighbors do that sort of thing?
Not like our neighborhood as a whole, not our street. There aren't that many kids on our street. There are some kids, but not that many. But you know, right next to us, our neighbors don't really do anything. So I feel like it, any little decoration you get makes it pop more.
Yeah.
Because last year kids were like, is it house? Serving candy? Are they giving out candy? And then we would just be there with no decorations, no porch lights. Like, yeah, come on up.
Get closer to me. Yeah.
It's unwrapped. With your attack. All our candy's unwrapped. Yes. Stick your hand in there. Get sticky.
With your attack Dotsons ready to tear these children limb to limbs.
That's little fear right there.
Are they Dotson or are they Chihuahuas? Are they
both? Chihuahuas.
They're Chihuahuas. Okay, sorry, I couldn't remember. I just knew that they were very small and a little yappy. A little yappy.
They're a little yappy. But they're old. They don't yap for long.
Yeah. They run out. They have the endurance to yap for very long because they're so old. Yap. All right, I'm going to take a nap now.
I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah.
Protect your own damn house.
we really don't do much because just no one ever trick or treats on our street. Like, we're really close to a very nice neighborhood. And so everybody just goes over there. Like, you know, so over the years, Denise and I were like, what's the point of even doing all this shit? You know, we will still buy some candy just in case, but then we just eat candy all of November because we bought candy for these theoretical trick or treaters. Who never show up. So
then you end up giving it away at comedy shows. You're like, I don't want to get this candy out of my house.
Well, we send it to Denise's office. So it just kind of goes into an office pool of candy, which I think a lot of people that work there do that. They're like, I want this out of my house. So I'm not eating 8 pounds of chocolate, you know? Right. So it just goes into a community fund at her office. I will say that the decorating the house though, as a young couple is definitely a cool move. I was leaving my friends Birch and Ann in Louisville. They're very into Halloween. It's a big thing for them, and their house is done up really nice, and it's well done and tasteful. It's just they did a good job decorating their house for Halloween. And as I was walking to my car, I went and had dinner with them a couple weeks ago. As I was walking to my car, there was like a family with like a little kid just walking down the street, and the kid just goes, that house is so cool. And so then I just texted him and he was like, yo, you just got a positive review. And it's not even Halloween time yet. I mean, they did it early on in October. So yeah, I'm sure that some people are walking by your house saying the same thing. Like they got a hay bale.
They're like, and people are probably
three
like,
pumpkins.
They're like, why? Why would you do that?
they're probably like, oh, that's probably the house that has the chickens that we keep hearing. Urban chickens.
There are urban chickens in our neighborhood, and I appreciate it.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. It's kind of fun, right?
In the wild. Yeah. It's good. So what happened after I saw you on Thursday, the rest of your weekend?
The rest of my weekend. So on Friday, I was at Converse, Indiana at Imagine Burgers. Just like a fun show that it kind of been pitched to me by the aforementioned Tyson Cox. He let me know. He's like, hey, I'm helping my buddy Tyler, who does the Monster Mash, our Monsters D&D thing with him. It's like co-host of that. He's like, he's booking this route. I'm helping him out with it. Can you do this? Tyson made it sound, or at least I inferred from his, email that this was like gonna be the first one or whatever, but apparently this has been running for almost a year now. Monthly shows, tiny little town.
Yeah,
but they sold it out. Cool little space. It was me, Eric Hook, a guy named Cam from Fort Wayne, and Tyler, and it was fun. They were a little tight and a little weird. Like, all of us had like up and down sets, and Tyler even said, yeah, this has been the weirdest room, like, crowd that we've ever had here. But they were fine. It was just like work. It was when they were like smilers and nodders, you know. And then, you know, and it's a small, cool little bar room that you do it in, and it's maybe, I don't know, maybe 30 people at most, you know, at the show. And I sold so much merch. It's one of those things where, for the small town, like, I'm selling t-shirts and like koozies, and so I did pretty well on merch sales. And if I would have just been like, oh, that wasn't the hottest set, I'm not going to sell merch. I would have been out, you know, $120 or whatever I sold, you know? Right. And so it's just like that idea of like, nope, go stand there. You never know. Just because they're not laughing their asses off doesn't mean that they're not going to come and buy some shit from you, you know?
That's great.
And so, yeah, so that was a good one. I mean, it was in the middle of nowhere. It was like literally, it's like 30 minutes outside of Kokomo, but it's 30 minutes straight of just cornfields and like nothingness.
It's hard to find a city or a town that I haven't heard of in Indiana, and that's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it was good. It was definitely a fun show. Anybody out there that if they get hit up to do it, I would recommend it. And then on Saturday, I was lucky enough to go feature for Kyle Kinane in LaPorte, Indiana. Did two shows at the Little Theater. Ben Conowitz, who's a really great dude up there, who's one of the former owners of The Drop way back in the day. He now does a bunch of stuff to give back to the town of LaPorte where he's from. And so he books, I think it's two comedy shows a year that are fundraisers. Mm-hmm. And this one was a fundraiser for the Boys and Girls Club of America. We raised over $5,000 for the Boys and Girls Club of LaPorte.
Damn, that's awesome.
Yeah. And everyone still got paid really well, you know, like, and so, and, so it's like a little tiny theater, maybe like 300 and something seats.
Okay.
First show sold out. Great. Smashed it. Like I had a really great set. Second show was almost sold out. It was very close to being sold out. And it was, I completely switched up and did an entirely different 15.
Yeah.
And so, it wasn't as tight, but it's still good. I still got some pops here and there.
Yeah.
And then Kinane, of course, was great and great to hang with and catch up with that dude because I hadn't seen him in, you know, a couple of months or so.
Right.
But yeah, man, it was great. And then Heather May from South Bend hosted the shows. So just a fun little hang, man.
Yeah. That's I didn't realize you were doing two shows.
Yeah.
Maybe you mentioned that, but yeah, that's awesome. I think you gotta maximize Kinane, if you can get him to a town, might as well just do two shows.
Yeah,
and it's almost 600 tickets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so awesome. And you know, and it's the first time they've done it since the pandemic. I think this is the first time they've done these comedy shows in something like 5 years.
Wow.
Because yeah, I think it said what it was because there was something before the pandemic, maybe that the theater was like shut down for renovations or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they're back with a bang for sure. So.
That's awesome, man. That's good. Yeah. Now, are you still working your clean set that you can send?
I did. Yeah, I did that for that early show because it was, I mean, it was early. It was like 6:30 p.m. Oh. It was early benefit show. And so
it's too early to drop fucks.
Yeah. And so I just did 15 clean from that clean chunk that I'm working. And I completely switched it up for the second one. I think I repeated one joke. But I also just, I did the second show, I did the stuff about my mom dying, and I really went a very different direction with the second set. I didn't go like filthy or anything, but yeah, I am still primarily working that clean chunk right now is for like, you know, headlining shows and for most things that I'm doing now, it's like the first 15 of whatever I'm doing, featuring or headlining or whatever. I'm just... and trying to build it out. Mm-hmm. And so then when I do shift gears and if I get a little dirtier and towards the end, it's still fine, you know?
Right.
But yeah, it's still kind of like the main focus is to try to build that out long enough that I can submit to Dry Bar. Because as I said on this podcast before, I think as a 50-year-old white dude at my current success level, that's my best shot is having something that might them A being like, well, that dude fits our demographic of who a lot of our viewers are.
Right.
And also being something that could like their viewership, their followers would be more likely. I'm going to try and get a don't tell video, you know, go to LA and do one. But if you watch their videos, it's a lot of attractive young people in their 20s.
They're so hot.
Every now and then you get somebody who's a little bit older. Like Shane Brendan did a killer set for them out of Portland, and Shane's a little bit older, but he's not nearly as old as I am, you know? And so to me, the Dry Bar thing seems like worth investing in, like trying to, you know, and if nothing else, then, you know, I can just start pimping myself for those corporate gigs.
Well, like it's you leave yourself several ways out by developing this tape because these are serious tracks that would get a lot of play, probably, you know, and that's a significant source of income if you can get like on Sirius, like regularly. It's nice. I haven't gotten a sound exchange in like a year, and it sucks because those were nice coming in.
Yeah, I think you need to follow up on that because I was also not getting anything for a while, and I had to ask my label what was going on with it, and then they had to talk to Sirius, and I had been getting plays, but it wasn't getting reported or something.
Oh.
And weird. So then I got like one where my sound exchange is way down. And I'm sure we've talked about this in the podcast before, but there was this big thing where everyone's mm-hmm. stuff got yanked off of SiriusXM and streaming. And then they thankfully, thanks to Dom at God, why can I not think of that label now?
Is it Gorilla?
Not Golden Voice. No, Blonde Medicine.
Blonde Medicine, yeah.
Dom at Blonde Medicine basically unfucked that entire situation for everybody, not just his label, but for all the labels. He's the one who basically talked Sirius into letting people back on.
Yeah.
And gave us the legal path to do that, right? Mm-hmm. He had to sign some paperwork, you know. But since getting my stuff added back on, it's like a fraction of what I used to get.
Yeah.
You know, like I used to make regularly $800 a month for my SiriusXM plays, and now it's like $150 to $200.
Right.
And when I was having brunch with Jackie Cation a couple of weeks ago, same situation with hers, just mm-hmm. you inflate those numbers up because she's a much bigger comic. But hers is the same thing. She's getting a fraction of what she used to get.
Right.
So she just did something.
I think she did just a recording of old bits and just sold it to them exclusively. And I think,
yeah, that was smart. And I think that was done. Yeah. And I think that was also done by Blonde Medicine. I think Dom did, if I recall correctly, somebody did the thing where they literally just recorded her set at Comedy Club on State.
Yeah.
And clipped it up, put it into individual tracks, and resubmitted it like live from Madison or whatever.
Right.
Not caring that it was old bits that were on other albums.
Yep.
And so, you
love
know,
it.
Yeah. So I would definitely be down for that too. If I had someone that, you know, had a little juice or whatever they could get, I'd love to have my old jokes on there. I'd love to have those jokes on there, two different versions.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, why not?
And and then you flip the cassette over and then it's the B side. It's the extended
the remix. Yeah. Yeah.
Did he get a hold of this? This is crazy.
But yeah, so yeah, I'm going to keep working on that through at least the end of the year. I'm going to keep trying to build that set out to where I feel like it's a 25 minutes that I can submit to Dry Bar, and you know, and it's fine. I'm having fun writing these clean jokes, you know, like mm-hmm. not a lot of there's not a lot of keepers. There's a lot of kind of one and done's, like, yep, that's not yep. really something but I've got a couple things and I've got a couple like topics that I'm like, okay, I need to really do the work and try to mine this for more. Rather than just the one joke idea that I had that came to me delivered from the muses that right. worked.
Right.
You know, like, and I think I'm sure I did this at your show, but I talk about how on the morning of my 50th birthday, I woke up with a huge zit on my face.
Yep.
Right. And it's a very short joke. It's super fun. It's been working like pretty much everywhere I go, self-deprecating. It's cutesy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I need to really dig into more of this idea of turning 50, like really. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like the structure that I'm kind of going for, which is a very Dry Bar structure. I'll fully admit that is catering to them.
Give the market what it wants.
Yes,
and that market
exactly.
wants this.
Yeah, they want gentle jokes about getting older, you know,
and sober sobriety.
And so sobriety just, stuff. Yeah,
you just have to give your life to Christ,
to a very specific version of Christ. Yes,
very specific. Yes, but more wives. Yeah. So I don't know mm-hmm. if that's a selling point or
is it? I don't know. All right. All right. So that's where we were. Where are you going to be? Let's do these plugs. Let's talk about your next weekend. Where you at, dog?
Yes, sir. I am in Chicago, Shot City, Thursday, October 26th, doing Dante's Pizza, doing that room, which is very fun. And then driving over to Iowa City, the 27th, that's Friday, Joystick Comedy. I think that show starts at 8:30, but it's on my website. Why would I tell you here? Why would I have that information? Stop asking me questions.
I think people just get the basic idea. Like, I think if someone's committed to come to see you in Iowa City, they'll take it upon themselves to get the time, you know?
Yeah, I don't have to be so
specific.
And
the address of the venue and, you know, things like that, you know.
Drop the website. Now, like the maximum capacity.
http://. Like, give us the full Eventbrite ticket link right now in audio form.
Like, this is a bad plug. Your plug doesn't fit on like an Instagram reel. It's too long. Oh, that's another thing.
All right. So then you're doing Chicago, then you're doing Iowa City for joystick. And then what about Saturday, the 28th? Are you doing anything?
Saturday, nope. I'm off and then coming back home. So,
okay.
What about you?
I picked up a last minute thing. We had talked, I don't know if we talked on air or after we finished recording last week, about how Bark Entertainment has changed their booking practices. They're now doing like this web form type thing. And I sent mine in and immediately got a booking, which is cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So I got a last minute thing. I'm going to be featuring at Skyline in Appleton, Wisconsin this Friday and Saturday, the 27th and 28th.
Nice.
And I saw who it was, but I forgot already. I didn't recognize who they were, but you know, I'm sure they're great. They look very nice in the picture. And then I'll be on right before them. So that's how that will work.
That's how that works. Yeah. That's dope. I'm glad that worked out for you. I like that.
Yeah.
I like a rapid refund booking. Those are the best. You send it, and they send it right back. You'll take that.
Yep. Yep. I'll take it, man, every day.
That's fine.
But yeah, that's where I am. And then I'm trying to think if there's anything really looking forward. I got some East Coast dates the following week. I'll be in Pittsburgh and then Newport News, Virginia. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Oh, this is one thing I do want to plug, because I feel like a lot of our listeners are probably in the Midwest, or the ones who are more familiar with us and our work and more likely to come see us are based in the Midwest. But on Saturday, November 11th, Brent Terhune and I will be co-headlining the Comedy Cabin in Janesville, Wisconsin.
Nice.
One show only. We're going to be the late show. There's a local showcase early, and then we are like the 9 o'clock show. So that would be dope if people would come out to that. Milwaukee's a great city. Yeah. Not Milwaukee. Janesville is a great city. Janesville's kind of halfway between Chicago and Milwaukee. So if you are a Milwaukee person or Chicago person and you don't mind like a quick like 30, 40 minute drive to come out and see me and Brent, that'd be great. I've heard great things about this club, so I'm very excited to get in there.
Hell yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I've only heard great things, and working with Brent's always a treat.
It's a delight. Yeah. And ticket links for that is already up on my website. So
nice. I meant to ask you, I was going to tell you that my show on Saturday, it's like they don't really host. So it's like it's a company. They book a bunch of rooms in Michigan, but they have like a staff that goes and runs the shows and just does like announcements at the beginning. But
and then
also,
it's one comic, just you by yourself?
No.
There's
a feature.
Okay.
But they do the announcements, and then they do a merch pitch for the merch they're selling after the show.
For the bar's merch.
No, for this comedy company's
production company's merch.
Yes, and then they bring up the feature.
Is this company run by Shanda Song's dad?
Deep cut.
Yeah, because Shanda's dad will do a merch pitch for his band's t-shirts at the comedy shows that you do in their hometown.
Oh, like, man.
Even though the band is not playing. But I think that's the cost of using his PA. First of all, her dad's awesome. Her dad's a fucking great dude. Super fun, super supportive. But yeah, they will be selling his band's t-shirts at this comedy show that has nothing to do with his band other than the fact that we're using their PA. It always cracks me up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so funny. It just goes to show, it does not matter what you sell or how you sell it. If you go and do this in these small towns, because they sold some merch. If they didn't sell anything.
Did they outsell you? Did they?
No, I did very well. But
okay, good. Yeah.
Their prices are a bit higher. Like, they're selling a coffee travel mug for like $30. But
yeah,
I was like, yeah. I guess you got to plug the merch twice. But yeah, there are no rules. I just thought it was very funny.
Yeah.
And Megan was with me and she's like, what's happening? This is so weird.
It is. And while we're on the topic of merch, also just because people sometimes will ask this, and just so everyone out there, if you are a newer comic, it is considered very poor form to try to sell merch if you're the host. It's like, it just isn't so a good funny idea. It isn't a good idea. And, you know, like, because almost every time that you're hosting, you're doing it locally, right? Mm-hmm. You're not out of pocket to go do these shows. Mm-hmm. And so it's generally considered a bad idea.
Yeah.
And even then there's rules. Like, I asked Kinane, hey, is it okay if I sell merch, even though I was the feature
right
on this theater show? And I know Ben, the booker, super well, and I know he wouldn't care.
Right.
You know, and Kyle made me give him 80%, which I thought was high, but no, he said, of course not. But it's just a general, it's just like, just, you know, being considerate and respectful mm-hmm. to the headliner and everything like that. But yeah, just as a general rule, if there's any, you know, every now and then, once in a blue moon, you still see a host that is trying to sell merch. And you're like, oh, this is not.
Yeah, it's not.
It'd be
one thing if so. They didn't host. They didn't do any jokes. They just
Exactly. Well, now that's what I'm saying. They took the place of the host selling merch. They did the inappropriate merch sale.
It was because it was piggyback. It wasn't even like, you know, feature brought me up. But instead of like, you go to a comedy club and there's the, mm-hmm. you know, that might be like, hey, check out some merch on their video thing.
Yeah.
But this is just a human doing it. And it was very awkward in this very tiny brewery. I thought you'd get a kick out of that. Did you?
No, I definitely
did. Did you drive home after your Converse Indiana show? Or did you stay?
I did, yeah. No, okay. So I did back-to-back nights of driving after show. So it wasn't a big deal to drive home from your show on Thursday, but then Converse, I drove home afterwards, which was pretty far. It was like 3.5 hours or so. And then the LaPorte show, I did not drive back because they had given me a hotel room. And also I would have just slept in my car or whatever at that point, because I was just tired and it was like, I'm not doing another 4-hour overnight drive, you know, kind of thing.
Well, you said you were in like cornfield hell, and that just like, I'm always on the, I don't know. It's always like a coin flip. Do I drive through darkness for 35 minutes? Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
or
yeah.
Just wait until sunrise where I can see my surroundings.
Yeah, it's one of those things too where, you know, that, and that is, I wasn't going to mention this, but there is something to that. On my way to the show, it had already gotten dark, and I'm just going through the middle of, you know, again, tiny county roads, like through cornfields, and so many rabbits came running out of this cornfield, like a watership down level of rabbits came running out of this cornfield across the street. And it was far enough ahead of me that I could slow down and not hit any of them.
Right.
But then just as I started to speed back up again, I hit what was chasing them. And like, I did hit a fox on the drive to the show.
Yeah.
Jeez. And it was just crazy. At first I was just like, holy shit, that's so many. I mean, it was like literally like 12 or 14 rabbits come running across this road altogether, like hauling ass. And then like, I break. And as I get up to a murder a fox speed, then I hit the fox. Yeah. So that was not great. But I mean, also, you're welcome, rabbits. Now you guys can chill a little bit. I took care of it. It's fine.
Murder a fox speed.
Murder a fox, then go to do a comedy show. You know, classic, you know.
Matt killed twice that night.
Sold a ton of merch. Yeah.
My God.
I did drive back. We do have a question of the week, though, and I want to make sure we get to it because I know you have a hard out today, and I've also got some stuff I got to go do as well. So we're going to keep this one nice and punchy. A brand new question asker. We've not heard from this person.
What?
Which is, I know, exciting. We should rotate the same three people, which is we love you guys. Thanks for sending in questions. We have a brand new one. This question comes from Shannon Sheehy, and Shannon says, hi, Matt and Dwight. I started listening to the pod after attending my first Limestone Festival this year, which was a blast.
Hell yeah.
So thank you, Shannon, for coming to Limestone, and thanks for checking out the podcast. Appreciate that. My question for the pod that I'll try to sum up as succinctly as possible. I'm curious about promotion of shows and if that falls more on the headliner, more on the club, or an evenish split. I've gotten targeted ads from comedians I like/follow for shows around me, both from the comic socials and the clubs. It also seems like a lot of clubs that have minimums will offer free or discounted tickets to shows that aren't selling well to at least bring in money from drinks. I'm sure it varies some based on venue, location, the level of headliner, etc. So, and then I'll go ahead and read the whole email and then we can break down, because that's kind of like two mm-hmm. different questions, I think, in there. The question is brought to you by being one of 10 people at Beth Stelling's Friday Late Show in Louisville.
Oh, wow.
And wondering why that happened. The only promo I saw for the show was organic posts through Beth's socials, none from the club. I love her and was really disappointed that the crowds were so bad. She gave us an excellent show nonetheless. Thank you. And Matt, I'll be seeing you on November 17th. Thank you, Shannon. Signed Shannon in Louisville. So November 17th, I'll be at Planet of the Apes in Louisville. So yeah, I will see Shannon there. Yes. So yeah, I agree. First of all, shout out to Beth Stelling, one of the best to ever do it. And of course, she's going to still give you a great show, even if there's only 10 people there, because Beth's a pro. And Beth is not a TikTok person who got famous overnight. She did a lot of 10 people shows along the way. So she has that muscle and she can still bring it. Yes. So the promotion thing is very nebulous and it really depends. And I will take a first stab at this. It should be somewhat a joint venture between the comic and the promoter or club, where they both have the interest of having as many people in the building as possible, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a lot of clubs lately have been dropping the ball on promotion or doing minimal promotion and expecting the comics to just bring in the crowds. Mm-hmm. Now, really good clubs don't do this. Really good clubs are still proactive in it, you know? Really good producers and promoters are still proactive in it. But there is a mindset among some clubs and some promoters where, well, I have the thing. It's up to you to bring the people in. But it's really a terrible way to look at it, because 10 people buying drinks and food isn't very much money. Mm-hmm. And Beth's the kind of comic that has a guarantee.
Right.
So it really would have helped. Really, the club should have done way more promotion, try to get people in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Papering a room or giving away free or discounted tickets is an entirely separate thing. But just in general, my opinion is it should be between both. Because also, if you are a headliner and you're not promoting your shows in that venue or that city, you're also dropping the ball. You're also kind of being, that's the reason people love doing Don't Tells, is you don't have to do that.
Yep.
The whole thing is nobody's supposed to know who's on it. So you get to take a break from constantly posting on social media that week, like, hey, I'm going to be in your city. Hey, I'm going to be in your city. Hey, I'm going to be in your city.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of takes care of itself. Don't Tell, because they have built up such a reputation, they also sink a bunch of money into ads.
Yep.
To counter this. They watch how the tickets are selling. And then if the tickets are low, you start to see a bunch of promoted posts from Don't Tell's account about that show in your area.
Yeah.
So, because they're very savvy and very smart about the way they do it. So the ideal is it should be everybody, but unfortunately there are certain clubs, and it could also just been like they dropped the ball, or they just thought Beth is just coming off this big HBO special. This is going to be a home run. We don't have to spend the money on ads for this. There's a lot of variables in there.
Mm-hmm.
But you would think that they would have seen where the numbers were and would have just started flooding the market with marketing, you know?
Yeah.
But who knows, you know, what's going on in their home office at the time. Like, maybe they're short staffed, maybe there's some changeover happening, who knows? But yeah, so that's my take on it. What do you feel about the general promotion of things, Dwight?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. It should be a team effort, especially at the club level. It just blows my mind when clubs don't do the easy stuff. Like, it's mm-hmm. very easy to book Beth Stelling and then at least pretend to be excited about it through multiple posts, take a clip of hers. It's never been easier to just like steal a clip and be like, hey, mm-hmm. we got this person coming. You know, and then obviously the headliner is going to announce with dates and like do that stuff. But yeah, it's a team effort, because it's in both parties' interest, no matter if it's a guarantee or a door deal, to promote the hell out of it.
Right.
At my level, I know you've done this too. It's better for me to run my own ads, because no one's going to care as much as I do about who's mm-hmm. in the audience. And mm-hmm. with as like, you can get so specific now with who you target and retarget and try to get to come to shows versus trying to get in front of as many people as possible, which papering the room does. Mm-hmm. Papering the room just means, you know, I'm going to give away free tickets or buy one, get ones, just to get actual human beings in the door to buy food and drinks. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That's, you know, there are pros and cons to that. You get, you know, we talk about it all the time. You get people that just came for free, they're already drunk and they're looking for something to do, versus, you know, someone going to see Beth Stilling intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really dope. It sucks for everybody involved, but I think it's really dope and like very high end comedy. It's like almost like masterclass to watch someone work with that few people.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It's,
yeah.
It's tough. Like it's, you know, doing showcase sets, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But like 45 feels like an hour. If you're, because you have to work so hard to keep the energy mm-hmm. bouncing, because when it shows that intimate, you can basically make eye contact with everybody and you're like dipping well, in crowd work yeah. and shit like that. It's
the thing that we're also not talking about this specific example is the Louisville Comedy Club is pretty big.
Right.
You know, she was actually not at Louisville Comedy Club. She was at Laugh Louisville, if I recall correctly. Okay. So I don't want to put this on Louisville Comedy Club. So I think this was Laugh Louisville, which is a new venture there. Yep. And so maybe they're also just kind of getting their feet under them. But from what I understand, it's also a pretty big room. I've not been in it, but I talked to Gabe Kia, who did it. I think it's also pretty big. So let's add that level of difficulty. 10 right. people in a large space, not right. 10 people in an intimate space.
Yeah.
It's now 10 people that may not even be sitting remotely close to each other.
Yeah, just 10 different tables. It's here's where it gets taxing, because you don't want your, as a comic, you don't want your entire social media feed to be promotion. Mm-hmm. So if you're promoting show after show after show after show, your audience is going to turn off. So you have to find a way to counterbalance that.
And which that's where those crowd work clips come in, baby.
Yeah, baby. But that might mean that you can't promote a show three times, specific show three times if you have a full calendar. That's why you need the comedy club to at least, you know, like add to stories all week. It's your job to do that. Like, it's your job to like recognize, like you said, how low ticket sales are and be like, hey, we got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We're no way going to be able to meet this guarantee. It's just that to me is a bad sign of management and mm-hmm. a bad, like, you don't have a great team in place. Like I think we've talked about it, how ticket sales are happening later and later and later.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that doesn't definitely. Mean you can rest on your laurels and just expect that they're going to come in.
You
still got to do the push.
I think also another thing, since I have like verified that it was Laugh Louisville, not the Louisville Comedy Club, that it, and I want to double check that, because I'm pretty sure that was what it was going to be. But it's a brand new club that most people in Louisville don't even know about it.
Right.
You know, so it doesn't have any sort of built in, you know, audience or crew. But you talked about something I want to go back to, which is the this idea of like when clubs don't even do the easy stuff, right? And mm-hmm. yes, grabbing someone's stand-up clip and going back, and of course their website sucks and they won't show any past dates. I'm pretty sure it was laughable.
I'm gonna go and say that
it was but there's also that, yes, posting a clip of someone and just like, here's who's going to be here, you know, this weekend. And you see the best clubs do that and their social media is quick. It's easy. But also just old school shit. Like every time that I go to a club and they don't even have like flyers and posters up in the bathroom of here's who's coming this month.
Yep.
Like you can't spend $3, spend $3 at Kinko's and get here's this month's roster. It's for someone to look at while they're urinating. You know, it's just like the easy thing. And when clubs don't even do that, I'm just like, you don't give a shit at all.
It was infuriating.
Yeah, it is. And so, and as the comic, you're like, well, so this is entirely on me. You think this is entirely on me to get people in.
Mm-hmm.
To that note, you know, I know that you've done this and I've done this. I will be doing this for my Louisville shows, and Brent and I are doing this. We're splitting the money mm-hmm. on our co-headlining when we're buying ads.
Yeah.
We're buying promoted posts for the, cause like when I headline a room for a Friday, Saturday room, that particularly when it's a door deal, but when it's a club, you know, Planet of the Tapes is a small alti club, but it's a club. I want to do well. I want there to be people to come. So I'm going to drop money on a promoted ad.
Yeah.
To try to get some people in there, because it works. It gets it outside of my own personal followers. And that's also a way that you can avoid the turning your followers off by always constantly posting. you know, promotion. If it's now coming from a promoted post, yes, they're probably still going to see it, but it's not on your feed. It's not in your like channel. So it gives you a little bit of a distance, but mostly it's going to capture people who aren't already following you.
Right.
And that's not just, you know, that's just being smart business. And that's, this note is more for the comics than it is for Shannon at this point, but like, you got to put money back into it sometimes, you know, if no one's coming to your headlining shows, try spending a little money.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to look at it like, okay, if I have this much of a guarantee, I'm willing to spend this much to hopefully pack it out, be booked again, you know, do better on merch because there's more people, like all that kind of stuff, and just try. And I usually drop on a weekend show like this, like I'll probably spend $100 in ads for Louisville, for the Louisville thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so, just... and that's for two nights, you know,
and you expect to, you expect to get it back. I mean, it's something that you just have to do regardless of the results. But in the ever changing landscape of how clubs are booking, we're always thinking about next year as well. Like we think about being invited back. So one way you can do that is to show the club that you're dedicated to bringing people out. If they're giving you headlining weeks, you know, because there's a good chance that they'll see the post, they'll see the, because you can tag them in the ads. They can see all this, they can share it. That means a lot. And just doing that, and you know, hopefully doing well on stage as well, should be enough to like keep you at least on the radar.
Yes,
to come back. The worst thing that you can do as a traveling comic is lose rooms by not trying, not putting in an effort. Even the shitty rooms we talk about, like that's part of our calendar. It has to be,
yeah,
in order to sustain, because you know, it's not that you get to go back to clubs every year. Sometimes it's every 16 months. So it's like, you've got to keep that rotation. Hey, remember what I did last time? And it does matter. It's frustrating, I think, for the audience and for the comic to see no effort put in. Like you go to the comedy club's like Facebook page and they got like one post for like two likes. You know, for each week, they're not even trying. It's just that part of it's super frustrating. But I think more and more bookers, even independent bookers, just want virality through promotion. And it's, you know, we talked about how these crowd work clips and like virality is hurting the entire landscape. And this is part of it. It makes everyone more lazy. Hey, get a viral video going so we can sell this show out. Otherwise, we'll never talk to you again.
Yeah. And I will say also to this, as far as promoting, this was a conversation I actually just had with Kyle this last weekend. We were just talking shop and he was talking about his manager is kind of like, yeah, you know, I know you don't want to do this, but you, when you're promoting the shows, you can't just put like a flyer up. Like you need to be on camera talking like, hey, everybody, please come see me this weekend in La Porte, Indiana. We're raising money for Boys. You know, you have to be on camera speaking to your phone, doing promo, or else the algorithm doesn't like it and nobody sees it.
Right.
You know, and then Kyle was like, you know, and he's like, and he's like, I don't really want to do that. But, you know, that's also why I have a manager is to tell me this stuff because I wouldn't know that. You know, he's like, and so just as a note to all the comics out there, you know, I will throw just a flyer up and put some little scriggly effects or something to it because I don't always be in my car just like, hey, come out. But I think you got to do that at least sometimes. You got to mix it up. Maybe that's also a way to mix up the promo. You do a static image promo. You do one where you're just talking directly to the camera. You do a fun one, you know, like whatever. Yeah. But it's important. It's important to do it. And it'd be great if it was like the heyday, or there are certain clubs that it will just pack out no matter what, or be very good no matter what, like certain scenes and certain markets. You don't, neither the club nor the comic has to do much and people will come out.
That's great.
And those are great, but they're few and far between. And you know, one note, as you said, like we talk a lot about the, like less than ideal rooms that we do. Yeah. And we complain about them, or like, oh, you know, this thing or whatever. You know, I did this brewery show in Indianapolis and the sound was like through the overhead speakers, and who would do that? You know,
with
a wireless mic, you know, just trash.
Terrible.
But doing those shows puts money in our pockets, which allows us to do this full time, which is still better than, you know, a bad day in comedy with exceptions, but most bad days in comedy is still better than the best day at an office with a boss and doing some soul eating job that you don't want to do. And that's the thing we have to kind of remember, because man, comics love to complain about shit. But I remember Paul Provenza's Green Room show, which was a great show. I think you can probably find clips of it online. But it's a round table kind of thing of comics just talking shop. And like people are kind of like, meh, 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 meh. And these are famous level comics. And Dave Attell is like, Christ, what is wrong with it? We work 1 hour a day.
Yeah.
And he's like, and you would.